Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Welcome to Security Guy Radio, SecurityGuyTV.com at Black Hat 2017 in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
What's your name?
Candace Worley.
Candace, what's the name of your company?
McAfee.
Hold the microphone a little closer for me.
Okay.
And it's McAfee.com, but you have a specific forward slash that you work with, right? Maybe it's kind of long, but what area do you work in specifically for McAfee?
So for me, I am the Chief Technical Strategist.
Oh, that's an interesting position.
Yeah. Not,
it's a little different than a CTO.
Yes, it's a little different
yeah.
in that I have, I think, a dual role. One of my roles is to go out and talk with our customers about what is our strategy, what is our mission, how are we executing against that.
Right.
Talk with them about, you know, the solutions that we're bringing to market and some of the challenges we're hearing from our customers. And on the flip side, it's to take what I learned through those interactions back into the engineering and product management organization to influence the outcome of our products and solutions.
And McAfee's been around a long time. How long? One of the first people in that space.
Mid-90s.
Yeah.
Yeah, very long time.
You barely got on the internet back then.
You did.
Your dial-up 9K modem and stuff.
The threats were very yeah. different at that point,
yeah.
that's for sure.
So tell us what's your kind of your day-to-day function? Everybody knows CISO and a CTO.
Right.
But a strategist, I think that's the most significant part because there's a lot of moving parts in cybersecurity.
Yeah.
And people just think, I'm going to slap a software on there. I'm going to slap a patch, a solution. And I'm not sure everybody's paying attention to what the overall strategy of all that means.
Right. So it varies. I have a team of about 9 folks. And depending upon who on that team is in the meeting, it can vary a little bit. So we do things like architectural and strategic mapping for the customers where we'll sit down with them and try to understand the challenges they're facing, the solutions they already have in their organization, whether it's ours or someone else's.
Right.
How to kind of thread those together to create an integrated ecosystem for their security program. Others in the organization spend a lot of time speaking at conferences, actually going out and engaging with customers, talking with them about our strategy and how ours is different than other organizations, how our approach to security is different. And then, like I said, we also spend time back with the engineering team on where we're going from a strategy planning perspective, what we're doing at the product level and the solution level, and how we need to take input from those customer meetings to influence our strategic direction and our product roadmaps.
Now, this is interesting. I would guess that you go to a corporation and they hire you and they say, handle it. Because I don't understand all that stuff and I don't understand that stuff. Or even if you're a CISO
right.
and you don't have the in-house capability to solve a solution,
sure.
which nobody does anymore, really. I mean, back in the day, they used to have your IT desktop guys.
Yeah.
We're way past that. Are people... I understand your position is necessary to get them engaged, but
right.
is it difficult to get them engaged with the
Not
strategy?
At all.
Really? Okay,
Not at
good.
All. So it really depends on the organization,
yeah.
right? So depending upon the size of the organization, potentially whether or not they're under regulatory requirements, it'll influence the sophistication of their security organization. So if you've got a company that has a lot of regulatory requirements or say a federal organization that, you know, it's got some NIST requirements, those kinds of things, they usually will have a pretty sophisticated security organization because they kind of have to, right?
Yeah, well, that's true, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so that dialogue with that customer is going to be very different. They really, truly understand they need to make an investment both in time, money, people to ensure the security of their organization. And the money part is important because as we look at the labor shortage that we're seeing in the market right now as it relates to security professionals, they can afford to compete for that security talent.
Well, that's right. There's a million-person shortage.
Right. You
yeah.
get down into, you know, smaller organizations, medium, maybe lower
right.
into commercial, where budget's a factor for them. A lot of those folks are looking to organizations like ours, as well as many of our partners, for services, whether that's professional services, whether that's a managed service.
Yeah.
But they can leverage to augment what they may have internally and buy what they can't actually access through their own means.
Now, McAfee back in the day was strictly virus detection, that kind of thing.
That hasn't been the case for a long time.
I know. And so for people that have gray hair like me that had a computer in 1984 and remember that, what else do you guys do that's, you know, that's not the same original model?
Certainly. So we've been in the network security business since probably 2004.
Okay.
So we've had, you know,
old timers.
Yeah. You know, we've had the intrusion prevention systems for the network edge for a long time. We've
yeah.
been in the web gateway business since, gosh, probably 2005, 2006.
Okay.
More recently, we've actually extended our capability with SIM technologies as well as other solutions that serve the security operations center and allow, you know, incident responders to be more effective at identifying, investigating and detecting attacks.
Yeah.
So really extended that capability, as well as if we look at our core endpoint, which I think a lot of companies would view us as an endpoint company, kind of as our DNA, we've gone far beyond AV, not just, you know, hips of old, but we now have, you know, machine learning capabilities.
Oh, interesting.
With our Real Protect capability. We have an application containment application containment capability for the endpoint, as well as an event detection and response capability for the endpoint. So we've gone far beyond, you know, our mother's AV, so to speak, right?
Close to turnkey solutions?
Pretty close to turnkey. We've actually made a pretty material change in our approach to the market. About 2 years ago, we really made the decision to focus on delivering solutions. And that was really a function of understanding some of the attacks that were happening back in 14 and 15.
Right.
We were working with customers that had seen attacks through our Foundstone Services and Pro Services group, where there was no shortage of security capability in their organization. They had the people.
Yeah, that's always the case.
They'd spent millions of dollars on products, and yet they were severely hacked.
Yeah.
And it wasn't for lack of trying on their part to protect the organization. But what we found is that it was the siloed nature of the security capabilities that they had installed. You had capability at the endpoint, at the edge, at the email, and none of them knew about the others. They weren't talking
until everything
got to the SIM level, right? So once you'd aggregated all the event data, then a body could look at that and go like, whoa, we've got a problem.
Yeah.
But at the individual silo level, you'd see it at one place and the other two wouldn't know about it.
See, this is common in all security.
Absolutely.
This is in physical security where I come from,
right?
Absolutely. When I used to work with the IT guys at Fox, I had to force them to work with me.
Right.
But when we did, it was a good team.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very
interesting. And you were more secure as a result.
More secure, yeah. And it's like, oh, this is secret squirrel data. Well, not really. I mean, we're all in the same company. Come
exactly.
on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so what we did is we made a pivot to delivering solutions that were based on a platform. You know, so we created DXL, the data exchange layer, which is a communications layer that allows countermeasures, we'll call them, products,
okay,
to publish and subscribe to that communications layer. We opened that up to partners. So we have 30-plus partners now that have chosen to integrate to the data exchange layer,
great,
which means that they can publish and subscribe to that communications platform or bus. And when I find something with my products at the endpoint, for example, and someone is using someone else's IPS or next-gen firewall that's integrated into that platform, they now can be notified within milliseconds that I've blocked a file, I have determined that it's malicious, and they should do the same at the gateway or the web or the email point of egress or ingress.
As long as you're not playing Atari and paying attention to the terminal.
Well, if you're playing Atari, I'm not sure you're in this game anymore, right? So really, we pivoted our focus from individual point products to creating a platform that would enable communications not only within our own products, but between our products and partner products.
That's brilliant, because you always get this resistance to share. I always tell guys at these shows, and I'm doing 100 this week, by the way.
I'm sure.
It's crazy, right? What if all 100 of those companies could sit down and openly, honestly share all the data they have?
Right.
I bet you we'd find the same bad guy in 75% of those companies going through each one, checking them.
Yeah.
I know we can't, but maybe. Maybe someday we can in some way that keeps it confidential, you know?
And we took the extra step. You know, we announced our data exchange layer in 15. In 16, we actually took the next step, and we announced OpenDXL, where we actually open sourced many of the APIs for our data exchange layer. So we now have an OpenDXL ecosystem where people can go out to a website, they can, you know, get use cases, they can engage with other people using OpenDXL to improve the usability of that for their own organizations. And we have signed up some amazing partners for this program. Partners that if I had told you 5 or 6 years ago would sign up with us and work with us, I think people would have laughed. You know, we've got Checkpoint in there, we've got Cisco in there, we've got Mobile Iron and AirWatch.
Yeah.
I mean, this is not like child's play. These are serious co-op competitors. You know, they're cooperating with us and competing with us. But we've recognized that for the benefit of our customers as a whole and the broader cybersecurity ecosystem, this is how we're going to have to work going forward.
So every year I sit down and I say, do I feel better or worse since I interviewed Candace or everybody else? I feel better.
I feel safer.
That's good.
That.
Last question. What keeps you up at night? What do you worry about?
You know, what keeps me up at night is a couple of things. Specifically, it's around education. It's around how do you educate a market, whether it's in the corporate world or the consumer world, about how to engage with compute and the internet.
Right.
You know, I came up with a phrase a couple of years ago that we used to, you know, we used to think about computing, and now we compute without thinking.
Oh, that's brilliant.
All right?
That's true,
you know, how many times do we pick up our cell phone every day and we don't even know it's in our hand?
Right.
Right? And anytime you're doing something without intention, there is risk involved
in engaging. That's
right. And so I think that's the one thing. And then the other thing is that I think that as we've got people who become digital natives, their tolerance for an invasion of privacy or of sharing information that may be considered private and be very useful to adversaries, they're much more tolerant of that now. There's a bit of apathy as it relates to privacy.
Yeah.
And so I think that's what keeps me awake. How do we get people to at least be aware, to be cognizant that they are engaging with people on the other end of that wire, even though it feels like I'm just engaging with a keyboard?
Yeah.
And that there are risks involved in that, that they need to just take even moderate steps to mitigate.
Fabulous. Candace Worley, McAfee.com. Thanks for coming on Security Guy Radio,
SecurityGuyTV.com. Thank you so much.
Been fascinating. Good luck to you.
Pleasure.
Thanks.
Bye.